Good evening and welcome to this episode of the FPC Raiders Podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Biggs. We are going to try something interesting because with so much surrounding the Las Vegas Raiders and their plans and their inaugural season in the desert, I wanted to bring in an objective voice, one who has no affiliation, affinity, connection to the team. FPC Raiders brings in our guest, FPC national writer. He's also the managing editor of FPC 49ers and FPC Cardinals, my man Ryan Adverdorada. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, man. How's it going, Terrence?
It goes well. I had to slow that name down. I had to make sure. Because I straight up Ron Burgundy as all day, like, practicing, like, looking in the mirror, just saying it, just trying to get it right, because I can't stand when people mess up names if they have had enough practice.
No, yeah, it's. I mean, I give you credit. It's a tough name, so everyone kind of, it's graded on a curve.
See. Now, as someone who follows the NFL intently, not just the teams you cover, what is your... We're going to break this down into micro for a second, but on a big picture, what's your impressions of the 2020 Las Vegas Raiders?
Honestly, it's kind of like a big question mark going in because you saw what happened last year, really the last few years. You know, last year you saw the team starting to be built in the way that a lot of people figured would be built, you know, with John Gruden there, Mike Mayock there. And so you saw a lot of pieces last year, especially guys like Max Crosby. And you come in this year, you see what they did at the wide receiver position. You saw, you know, the additions there. You saw some of the additions they had at cornerback. And it seems like they fixed some of the holes that were obvious. But, I mean, a lot of question marks, though, because a lot of those players are very young. It's a brand new situation now in Las Vegas. I will say I do think because they're not going to really be playing with any fans in the stadium right now, I think that's going to help. I think that will kind of lower the pressure in terms of, you know, having to show out, you know, in the new home.
Now, when you look at the organization from the top down, do you have questions or do you have faith in the Gruden and Mayock relationship as far as getting the team on the right track?
I want to say yes, and part of it is because I do think that they're complementing each other. While I don't see it being as a 50-50 split as you would say, you know, their former Bay Area counterparts in the 49ers, you can still see the fact that you have an idea there. You can see that they're trying to reload on defense. They're adding more weapons to the offense. I trust that Gruden has an idea of what he wants to do, and I think he's working well with Mayock. It's just more or less is can the players really, you know, are they finding the right players, and do they believe in who's going to be their quarterback moving forward?
Now, let's break down Mike Mayock. He had a rather fun, stress-free job at the NFL Network, being their head draft analyst. Why do you think he took the job with the Raiders?
I think part of it is the challenge of going in there with someone like John Gruden. You know, I mean, it's obvious that they're friends, that they've known each other for a while. They've kind of worked with each other while both of them were working outside of the NFL, covering the NFL. So that's one thing that you can easily see. But I do think it comes down to just the challenge, you know, of him becoming a general manager, him, in essence, getting to run the team. I mean, if you want to talk about how much control he actually has over personnel decisions, you know, that's a different, entirely different discussion. But I honestly think it from someone who, you know, with he's working on the, you know, in the press box, watching what's going on, you know, as an analyst, doing the draft. It's a logical step to want to get into the front office and being able to just walk right in and become the general manager. I mean, at that point, who wouldn't want to do that? You know, you've seen guys go the opposite way from general manager to draft analyst. He's going, you know, he's going the other way, going against the grain there. So I think for him, it was just something that the opportunity arose. And how his name came up, that's a different story. But I mean, why wouldn't you take the job if you were him?
I mean, it's intriguing. Now, there's been so much talk about Gruden as far as being a offensive genius and a quarterback guru. Objectively, hype or fact?
Oh man, that is a tough one, because you look at the track record and who he's worked with when he was not the head coach, and obviously you're looking at Green Bay. But then you also think about the fact that even when he's had some relatively weaker quarterbacks, up until David Carr is probably up there in terms of talent-wise as who he's got to work with. But when you look at when he was at the Buccaneers, the things he can do with the offense, I think he's great with the offense and scheming it up. I won't necessarily say he's a quarterback guru, because we haven't really seen him do a lot with little, and that's kind of the big thing. But I do think that he is someone who can coach him up and really just kind of, and I hate saying that phrase, but really just, you know, he does the X's and O's, he gets guys open, and because of that, he makes the reads easier for his quarterback. So they tend to play better. Now, you look at what he did in Tampa Bay with someone like Brad Johnson, who had talent, but, I mean, no one would say that he was, a great quarterback. No one would really even say that he's maybe above average. They would have said he's an average quarterback who played well enough for them to win a Super Bowl. That's the kind of guys that he's played with, that he's worked with. And I think he does a good enough job on offense to make the job easier for his quarterback. Although I can't go all the way and say that he's really that quarterback guru. I don't think he's Andy Reid.
Now, that brings me to when you mentioned Brad Johnson, the prevailing knock against John Gruden is that he won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's players. Is that a fair assessment, in your opinion, as an objective observer?
I mean, I kind of understand where this comes from, because, you know, as someone who is a fan of, you know, the NBA's Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr got a lot of heat for that when he took basically Mark Jackson's team and won a championship. But as you saw with that, I mean, John Gruden took them to the next level. You know, you watch interviews with Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, those guys. They say, you know, Dungy took them as far as he could take them. And the biggest problem was they didn't have a reliable enough offense to keep the defense off the field enough to make them as effective as they could be. And that 2002 team, when Gruden had the offense running, and it was running fairly well, it wasn't an explosive offense like he had really in Oakland the first time around, but they still were able to move the football. They had the run game going. You know, they did enough to help the defense, and that's what it came down to. They don't win that without him. So it's hard for me to really say that he kind of rode, you know, the coattails of what was Tony Dungy's team. I mean, he took them to the next level. Yes, a lot of those players were guys who were there with Dungy, but at the same time, that offense changed a lot when Gruden got there for that first season. So, you know, he didn't really touch the defense, but he did a lot on the offense that really made it his team. So it's hard for me to really side too much, at least looking back at it, hindsight. It's hard for me not to say that he really kind of just rode on Tony Dungy's, you know, coattails.
Now, we need to talk about Derek Carr. Now, within the Raiders fan base, there's a split. Most people think that he is the second coming of Jim Plunkett, Rich Gannon. Like, people want to put him in that top three as being one of the greatest quarterbacks in franchise history, which is wild to me since he has a sub-500 record and has not played a playoff game yet into year seven. But what's your accurate assessment of Derek Carr as a quarterback? What's your honest, like, be real, like, what do you see when you think number four on the field and for the Raiders?
I see a very talented quarterback who at times cannot get out of his own head. And I hate saying that, because it all goes back to, you know, the injury he suffered against the Colts. I want to say it was 2016 or 17, when he basically had that injury at the end of that game. I mean, it basically completely torpedoed that season. You know, they ended up losing in that first round. So I think after that, you could see him tentatively coming back the last couple of seasons. And then you would see glimpses of the Derek Carr you saw coming out of Fresno State. And him being in Fresno State, although I was already living in Arizona, I still followed University of Hawaii football very closely. So you got to see him quite often. You got to see how good he was. You got to see that he was maybe not as talented, just raw talent, as his brother coming out, but he was a better quarterback overall in terms of being able to play the position. And at this point in his career, it comes down to, you know, can he just mentally do it? Because he has the skill set. He's smart enough. You can tell he knows the offense. But, and we've talked about this, you know, online. We've talked about this off air. And the running joke becomes, you know, he's the guy who checks it down after a couple of seconds in the pocket. You know, he throws it down to his wide receiver, his running back or his tight end, instead of making the big play, or at least trying to make the play downfield. So I think right now, to anyone who honestly thinks he's a top three Raiders quarterback, I do question, you know, their ability to really go back in history, because I don't see that. But he has a talent there. I don't think he has the makeup, maybe that, and I hate questioning someone's like mental fortitude or even their toughness, but I don't think he has it right now to lead that team, you know, to the playoffs and beyond.
Now, when you see the dedication that parts of the fan base have for Carr, is it because, let me ask you this, is it because of who he is on the field or his off-field persona?
I think part of it is the homerism of he's our quarterback right now, and I don't see anyone better because he's shown you the glimpses. As someone who's a 49er fan, I saw it with Alex Smith. For a long time, you just kind of held on tight because he was your quarterback, regardless of the times where he just struggled. While it's a completely different beast, and I do think that Derek Carr has more talent, I do think when it comes down to it, it's a matter of everyone just kind of looks at it like, hey, he's our guy, and I think the segment of the fan base who just loves him and will not, you know, I guess, you know, they call it, you know, they'll put on the cape for him, you know. I think with him, a lot of it kind of comes down to who he is off the field. And I hate to talk about that because I don't think it matters when it comes down to the actual games. But I do think because he shares a lot of their beliefs, you know, and he tends to talk about his personal life a lot. People kind of fall into that, oh, well, he's my guy. You know, I get to see how he is with the family. You know, he goes to church like I do, and he does these things like I do, and so they become overly protective. And I do think because he's taken so much slack from within the fan base, I think that's why you've had that staunch, you know, defending of him from the other side of the fan base. I think if it became something that it happened organically from outside, from other fan bases, or even just outside of you know, the fan zone, and just kind of having like analysts ragging on him, I think it would have been a lot more of a more coalition building type of environment. But I think right now the reason you have it broken up like that is because people, they just want to defend him because they think that he's on their side. And I think that's what it comes down to. It's he looks like me, he talks like me, and he's my guy.
Can't fight that logic, because it seems like it's true. Where how many other quarterbacks who are that far deep under 500 who haven't played in a playoff game, one winning season in 6 years, now entering year seven, would embrace, or should say, garner that type of support within their own fan base? When we come back from break, Ryan, we're going to play America's least favorite game show. You are listening to the FBC Raiders podcast on the FBC Radio Network. We are back with the FPC Raiders podcast. Terrence Spiggs, Ryan Adverata, FPC national writer, also the managing editor of FPC 49ers, FPC Cardinals. Ryan, this is America's least favorite game show, I should say. This is your predictions. I'm going to go through all 16 games. If you want to add a sentence to it, but that's cool. I'm here for that too. Raiders wins and losses as from an objective viewpoint. They start off in Carolina facing the Panthers.
They should win on paper. That Carolina team is just kind of, they don't know what they're doing right now.
All right, let's see. That's 1-1. Actually, 1-0, sorry. 1-0. The home opener in Las Vegas will be versus the Saints.
You know, they did it the other year, but I can't see them. This Saints team is just, right now, they're so focused. So I think they dropped the home opener.
Then they go on the road to New England and face the Patriots.
I think they surprise people and they take advantage of a different Patriots team. So I think they're 2-1 after 3 weeks.
That's nice. Home for the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills are a tough one, but I do think that they can find a way to win at home again. So I think they beat Buffalo.
Oh, 3-1. Okay. The Chiefs and Arrowhead. We know what happens when Derek Carr goes to Arrowhead.
I mean, can we say that if they're within, like, two scores at the end of the game, that that's a win? I mean, if not, then that's a straight loss.
3-2. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Fournette, Brady, Gronk, everybody now who's now a Buccaneer at home in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't see how they can. That Tampa Bay team is just too talented, and the one thing that Tampa Bay needed last year was a stable quarterback, and they have one. So that's probably going to be a shootout, but Tampa Bay, I think, definitely wins that game.
On the road, they travel to Cleveland to face Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
I think this is a trap game for them. They should beat them, but I think the Browns win it.
Ooh, that 3-4. They go to L.A. and face the Chargers.
Honestly, it depends if the fans are there. If the fans are there, then it's a home game for the Raiders, as we all know. But I think the Raiders have the stronger team right now, so I give them the advantage.
All right, after 8 games of 4-4, I'll take that after 4. Then they go back to Vegas and they welcome the Broncos.
I honestly just have to go with the Raiders because I just think they have a better team.
Nothing wrong with that. The Chiefs in Vegas.
The Raiders play the Chiefs better, obviously not in Arrowhead, but I just think that the Chiefs are just way too strong right now. So I'd probably say that they drop one to the Chiefs again.
On the road in Atlanta for the Falcons.
I think that is a victory for the Falcons.
Oh, okay. On the road in Jersey with the Jets.
Honestly, if they lose to the Jets, then they might as well just throw in the towel at this point. But I do think that they come away with a victory against the Jets and kind of keep like their playoff hopes alive.
Home for the Indianapolis Colts.
This one's interesting because they get that old division rival in Phillip Rivers, and that Indianapolis defense looks really good. But I do think that it's going to be some home cooking, so I do think the Raiders win.
Nice. They will host the Chargers.
I want to say the Raiders, but it's hard for me to say that they're going to sweep the Chargers. But I'll just go with it and say Raiders win.
They are home for the Miami Dolphins.
I think this is another trap game for them. Miami has a good young team. They have a great head coach. Depending on how the injuries are playing out and how well the season's going, but I do think the Raiders still win this game.
Oh. And they finish off the season in Mile High on January 3rd, 2021, against the Broncos.
I don't see Derek Carr playing well in the snow at Mile High Stadium with the playoff berth on the line. I just don't think they're quite ready for it, so I think they lose that game.
9-7. Actually, honestly, like 9-7 would be fine. Like I'm of the mind that anywhere between an 8-8 and 9-7, because it's honest. Now, where do you think that the biggest surprise player will come from on offense? The one guy you're like, no one's talking about this guy. He might be able to sneak in and surprise some folks.
You know, I don't even think so much it's going to be a surprise, because you look at who they have on offense and you already have talented players that everyone knows about. I do think Edwards, the wide receiver, I think he's someone who's going to surprise people as in terms of how many big plays he can make. That said, I think like the guy who will surprise people, and it's going to be a surprise not so much because he's going to be suddenly a guy who shows up, but I think it's going to be a surprise at how well he does in his second season. I think that's going to be Josh Jacobs.
Now, who's the one guy that you feel though will be the biggest disappointment?
That's a tough one, and that's going to be the hard one, because looking at that offense, it's hard for me to see anyone failing as bad as they can. I don't think he has a lot of talk about him being a major contributor. But I think Jason Witten takes a big step back, because I just don't think there's enough passes to go around. And I think he's finally going to hit that wall where there's only so long that you can beat, you know, Father Time. There's only so many plays you can play, you know, downs you can play. I think eventually it's going to catch up with him. I think it's going to be a disappointment because I don't think he finishes the season.
So if the Raiders go 8-8 or 9-7, as you predicted, finish the sentence. In 2021, the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders will be?
In 2021, the starting quarterback. Remind me how many draft picks they have in 2021.
They have the full complement. They have at least 8. Actually, no, they have 9 now because they made a couple of trades.
Honestly, if they're 9-7 with the way I think it's going to shape up, I think they look at trading or just getting rid of Derek Carr, because I don't think he's going to do enough this coming season to show that he deserves that money, and that's what it's going to come down to. I think if they finish 9-7, the starting quarterback will actually be like another veteran quarterback, because they're going to draft someone in the first or second round. I think that's what's
going to happen. Let me ask you this as a last question, as somebody who follows the Niners. What is it about Jimmy Garoppolo that Derek Carr could emulate? What's the one trait or one tangible or physical trait that you would want Derek Carr to be able to take from Jimmy G?
The one thing that makes Jimmy G as good as he is, and I do think he is a very good quarterback, is the fact that nothing seems to get to him. You just look at him on the sidelines, even when he's frustrated and he's had bad games. He shakes them off, and you know he'll get screamed at by Kyle Shanahan, and he'll just say, "Okay, I got it. Let's go and do this." There's just like this calm about him, and I think it came with sitting behind Tom Brady all those years. If Derek Carr could just learn to get out of his head and just see the game in front of him and play the game and not let things bother him, I think that would actually make him a much better quarterback. If he could just kind of look at Jimmy G and say, okay, well, this guy takes a beating. I mean, as much, you know, flack that Derek Carr takes within the fan base of the Raiders, the Raider fan base in general, Jimmy G takes that from everyone outside of the 49er fan base. So fans of other teams, analysts, you know, they're always ragging on Jimmy G. The guy wins football games. And when they've needed him for the most part, he's come through. We can talk about the Super Bowl, which I won't do right now because it still hurts. But, you know, the guy made a lot of plays to get them there, and he does it because he just goes out and does his thing. He doesn't get caught up with his interception. He moves on from it. You know, that's something that if Derek Carr could do, I think he'd be an all-pro caliber quarterback every year.
I made the parallel last year that I think that Derek Carr's physical gifts is in the neighborhood of Aaron Rodgers physically. But what separates Rodgers from Carr is Rodgers' mindset.
Yeah, that's spot on. That's spot on, because physical tools, I mean, he has the arm, he's mobile enough, he can, you know, get out of the pocket and make throws. But the biggest thing is Aaron Rodgers looks for the big play, and if he can't, then he finds a way to check it down. I think with David Carr, he has to go in before the play happens and start thinking about, okay, this might be open. And I think sometimes he gets two in his head, and I know I've said it a thousand times tonight, but, you know, he gets in his head and he suddenly doesn't want to make that throw when he either has a guy wide open or he could try to just put the ball up there, let your guy make a play.
I think that Derek Carr is one of those quarterbacks where it's now or never. Ryan, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Where can people find your work, read your phenomenal content, and just interact with you on Twitter?
Yeah, so on Twitter, we have the Cardinals Twitter account, FPC_Cardinals, or Full Press 49ers on Twitter. You can also follow me at Ryan Adverderada. Of course, just like you, you can always read our stuff on fullpresscoverage.com. Got a lot of good stuff lately. I know we both kind of don't like them right now, but the Chiefs, you know, Braden does a great job covering the Chiefs, has a lot of great stuff out there. Just a lot of good stuff as the season is getting closer. I think we're, 11 days out, so about a week, almost 2 weeks out. So, you know, it's coming, and a lot of good stuff is coming out there. And for the people that want to maybe talk about stuff, if they're in their feelings right now about me saying Derek Carr is worse than Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, hey, I have no problem discussing that with you. So find me on Twitter. Definitely looking for the opportunity.
I mean, just to piggyback off what you said, Braden does a hell of a job. He's living his best life as a Royals fan, an Avs fan, and a Chiefs fan. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
This has been another episode of FPC Raiders Podcast. You can find our work, as Ryan mentioned, at FPC_Raiders, or if you want to interact with me on Twitter, it's at TBiggs_B, lowercase everything else. Be good to yourselves, and damn it, be good to each other. Good night.